We continue this morning with this Lenten series of encounters with Jesus on his way to the cross. And this morning, the story of the Samaritan woman. I would commend to you all of this chapter, really, I believe, the first 42 verses of St. John 4. For our scripture lesson, I want to read verses 7 through 14. Will you hear these words? A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." We give God thanks for this word to us. Amen. Encounter with the Samaritan woman. Conversion. Let us pray. And now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me begin this morning with the story of the grandfather who found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen, crying at the top of his voice. When Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up his little hands and said, "Out, Gramps, out." The grandfather went to lift his grandson out of the playpen. And just then his mother spoke up and said, "No, Johnny, you are being punished, so you must stay in." The grandfather was at a loss to know what to do. The tears and the little hands of his grandson reached deep into his heart. But the mother's firmness correcting her son must not be taken lightly. It was love that found a way. The grandfather could not take the grandson out of the playpen, so he climbed in with him. Please hold that image for just a moment. And let me take it a step further and say, the coming of Christ and the very encounters that Jesus had on his way to the cross. St. John 1 and 1 affirms that God, that Christ was a part of the Holy Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And John does not include several stories and exchanges that we find in the other Gospels. It is as if John wants to hurry, and we will come to John 1 and 14, The Word became flesh and dwells among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It may be a different way of interpreting this verse, but let us say for the moment that Jesus is just like the grandfather. He has climbed right in with us. Jesus encounters someone like Nicodemus, who we talked about last Sunday. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and challenges him with all of his training and with all of his background to be born again. And then truly, to the other end of the spectrum, this morning, there is the woman from Samaria. Jesus is sitting by the well. His disciples have gone into town to look for food. And as Jesus is sitting by the well, this woman comes to draw water. I wanted us to see and picture all of the prejudices and the reasons for separation. Jesus is sitting by the well, and the Samaritan woman comes at noon. Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? At this very moment, all of the prejudices of that time, they are challenged. And one can say that many historical lines are crossed. Also, a misconception is challenged. The misconception is that even as the Christ, Jesus grew tired and had to sit down and was in need of water. Jesus can understand those moments when we are tired. We are often tired. Some days from just physical work. For there always seems to be something that needs to be done. And sometimes we are tired spiritually, just trying to understand what is going on around us in this world. Jesus understands what it means to be tired. Now we can address the prejudices that are here. It goes back from some centuries, 500-600 years. And how the Jews, how the Samaritans who were Jews had intermarried. And in the eyes of the other Jews, their race was no longer pure. It was said that when a person married out of their race, the family would hold a funeral service for them, for it was if they were dead. So Jews and Samaritans had no connection with each other. It was not so much that they would fight physically, they just had no connection with each other. It was said that when one was either passing through Jerusalem or Samaria, the others would gather and make fun of them. There is another separation in that Jesus is seen as a rabbi. And the custom in this day is that rabbis did not speak to women. They did not speak to women in public. This included if they passed by their own wife or their own daughter. And now Jesus is speaking to this woman, a Samaritan woman. In this moment, Walls of separation are being torn down. The good news of the gospel is, it is not just for a few. There is a universality about the gospel. The gospel is for everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. There remain prejudices, and I really don't have to say this. There remain prejudices in our time, and they go beyond the color of skin. The church must be the place for everyone, and therefore the church must address the prejudices of our time. I was speaking, as I had called her for help and resources, I was speaking with a lady who was a part of the General Board of Discipleship. And she asked me, would you describe your church? I said, gladly. I talked for a few moments about our church. I talked about Christ Central. I talked about our Tongan Fellowship. I told her about our family from Tongo. I told her about Aurora Central and that the kids had class here. I told her all about our neighborhood and just how much our church was a part of the neighborhood, even though this neighborhood has changed so much. When I was finished speaking, she said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "It sounds like the kingdom of God." I agree. And maybe that is why we struggle. Someone wrote that when you find the right path, when you find the right path, it is probably going uphill. And so we are agents of the kingdom of God. And the universality or the spreading of the gospel must be our concern. And we have good news to share. The woman, the Samaritan woman, she knew her history. And she wants to know, is Jesus greater than her father Jacob, who was remembered as the founder of the well. The founder of the well where she had come to draw from. And she also had common sense. For she could see that Jesus was talking about giving her water. And she didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to draw this water with. Jesus says to her, "If you drink from this well, you will be thirsty again." Jesus says, "If you drink from the water that I will give you, you will never be thirsty again." This living water is able to quench the very thirst of our soul. There is no difference between us and the Samaritan woman. For we understand what it is to be thirsty. And to be a part of this human experience is to find so many things that are trying to quench our thirst. You know, I look at commercials on television sometimes, and it often seems to me that the underlying message is, try this product and you won't thirst anymore. This is the very paradox of life. Those things that that seem to be, I'm sorry, talk, Aaron. Those things that seem to be secure become unfulfilled and uncertain. Like the Samaritan woman, we say, give me a drink. Or Martin Luther put it this way, my soul is at rest. It is at rest only when I find rest with thee. The water that Jesus gives is living water. And it was promised with the ministry of Christ. Psalms 36 and 9, with you is the fountain of life. Jeremiah 17 and 13, it is the Lord who is the fountain of living water. Jesus can quench our thirst with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit means that the holy and the divine is living right inside of us. This life takes on new meaning. With the gift of the Spirit, love. Love replaces hate. With the gift of the Spirit, joy. Joy replaces envy. With the gift of the Spirit, peace replaces doubt. With the Spirit flowing within life, all of a sudden we find that life is worth living. How do we know that we are really living in the Spirit? General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, was asked the secret of his amazing Christian life. Booth answered, I told the Lord he could have all there is of William Booth. Well, as we surrender all to Jesus, as we come and we drink of this living water, something can happen. Something can happen, and we can't keep it from happening. How do I know this? Well, this Samaritan woman found value in life. No one had treated her like Jesus. She found value in her life. No longer did she feel ashamed. You know, she had come to the well at noontime. That was not the time you came to draw water in the heat of the day. She came at noon because she was afraid and embarrassed and ashamed to be around all of the others who had come to draw water. So she had to come at noon. But now she leaves the well. And she goes back to the very same people that she had been hiding from. She goes back to them and says, come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. What I have always found amazing about this moment is that at this time, Jesus has two witnesses, just two persons spreading the news of his ministry, just two persons saying, come and see. Do you know who those two people are? One is John the Baptist. No surprise there. But the other witness is now the Samaritan woman. There is something, I believe, about really finding this kind of life. There is something about drinking of this living water that we have to tell others to come and see. Well, this encounter with Jesus, the Samaritan woman would ask, "I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink so I don't have to drink anymore." This must become our petition of Christ as well. Give us that living water. Let us be converted. Let us go and tell someone else. Amen. Amen. Amen.